Let's turn to the scriptures tonight. We want to finish off what I began looking at last week, which is to do with the we started off looking at the fruit of our Christian life, which is holiness. And the scripture we read was in Romans 6, verse 22, which says this: "But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life." You know, the Bible talks about fruit. Particularly, we might think of the what Galatians lists and calls the fruit of the Spirit. And it says that that's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faithfulness, meekness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And it goes through all those nine different things which it calls the fruit of the Spirit. Well, holiness is another fruit. It's something that we produce in our Christian lives. And what we're going to look at tonight is just a few things that that we should be doing, or how we can be fruitful in holiness. Last week we particularly spent a lot of time looking at worship that's necessary to our worship. You know, we need to be holy so we can come before God. You know, we can't bring sin into the presence of God. You know, we've got to be righteous, we've got to be holy. Then we looked a little bit at that we're called and called to holiness, elected to holiness, and that God will present, or we're going to be presented to God as a holy church. You know, holiness is fitting for the church. So we're going to look at the first scripture we're going to go to tonight. Is we're going to come back to Romans 6, so if you want to keep your finger or put a marker in there or something. First scripture I want us to look at tonight is found in the first book of Corinthians. And it's chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17. And here the Apostle Paul's writing, and he writes these words to the church. He says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Now you are the temple of God. The temple was the place where God dwelt. Or the tabernacle was the place where God dwelt. You know, the Ark of the Covenant was kept in the what we call the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. It's the place where God dwelt with God dwelt amongst his people. And wherever that ark went, God's people went. You know, when God moved, God's people followed. And here Paul is writing and he says, you are the temple of God. God dwells in you. You know, so wherever, if you want to realize, wherever we go, God goes. You know, I was listening to a preacher many years ago, and he was telling about the ministry he had. I'm just trying to think of his name. McClung. I think he's from Holland, that way. Floyd McClung. I was listening to him at a young people's meeting down in London, in Westminster Central Hall, all the way back in the early 80s. And one of the things he was telling us about how they, part of his work was to go into, no, he's not suggesting we do it unless that's the way the Lord's leading us, but they went into the nightclubs in Amsterdam or Rotterdam or one of those places to reach the witness. And very often God would give them an opportunity and they'd be able to get up on stage with a microphone and just share their testimony, share a little bit of the gospel. But he says, they used to go into all the sorts of places where people would say, well, you mustn't go there, you mustn't do this, you mustn't do that. Because wherever you go, God goes. And they said, a lot of people used to say, well, you shouldn't go to the pubs, you shouldn't go to the clubs, you shouldn't go to the nightclubs and all these places, because you're taking God into those, what they called, sinful places. You know, but that's where the people are that need to be met. And God, Jesus went to where people were. And what he was saying is, he was saying, look, he says, God dwells in you. So where you go, God goes. And if you're going with God, when God leads you, you follow him. You take him with you. God is holy. The temple of God is holy. And he says, you are the temple of God. You are that habitation for God to live in. You know, we know Jesus lives in our hearts by his spirit. Now, we've got to understand that, you know, Jesus isn't living in a sort of heart that pumps the blood around our body. That's not what the Bible calls our heart. Our heart is our innermost being. And that's where God lives, right inside us. You know, the heart of man is deep down within. You know, and that's what makes us who we are. You know, I've got a lot of people saying that, particularly when it comes to surgery or heart transplants, they say, well, they didn't want to take the heart transplant because they thought that they'd get in the heart from a non-Christian person and God wouldn't be inside them and they'd need to get saved. And it's all that sort of weird stuff. But God dwells within us. It's not in our fleshly heart. It's not in our blood pump. You know, God doesn't fit into that thing, so you can change that as many times as you like. God will still be inside. You know, I was thinking about this last week when we, when I was taking that funeral, because the conversation came up, I went to visit the family, the conversation came up about, because she said, well, because the lady had dementia, and she said she completely lost, you know, everything had gone, all her memory had gone and everything. She didn't know what she was doing from one day to the next. And she said, well, I don't know whether she really understood when we were in the services. I said, oh, I think she did. You know, because just because your mind's gone doesn't mean look at the fact that God's still inside here. You know, he's right inside. You know, we have the temple of God and God lives in us. You know, and that, the spirit responds when to the spiritual things. So whether your mind's gone, or you know, where people have things like Alzheimer's or dementia and they can't and their faculties are gone, yet God still lives inside. You know, and the spirit still responds to spiritual things. Because we possess God, we possess holiness. Because the Bible says, and we read it right back at the beginning of our studies in Peter, where God says, I want you to be holy because I am holy. So we can live holy lives because God's inside us. Jesus is inside us. You know, and he will live through us. You know, and that brings me on to, I want us to turn to Luke's Gospel chapter 1. This is a lovely scripture here in the, was part of the song of Zacharias. You know, God filled Zacharias, the Holy Spirit came upon Zacharias and he gave this prophetic song, this word. And in verses 73 and 74, part of that, well, 73, 74 and 75, part of that song says this: "The oath which he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we," and he's talking about us, well, he included us when he said we, "that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him," God, "without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." You know, we should serve God in holiness. You know, we should live our lives to bring glory to God. We should live our lives in such a way that we've got a couple of scriptures to look at along this line, that what the Bible calls our conversation or our conduct, which should be in holiness, living holy and righteously before God every day of our life. Now, right back at the beginning of the studies we looked at, we said that holiness was something that God does for us, and Anthony touched on this a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks back when he was with us. You know, God's done all that he needs to do to make us holy. He did it at the cross. You know, we are made holy. But just because we've been made holy doesn't mean to say we can go out and live how we like. You know, we've still got to live holy lives. We've still got to live to the standard that God wants us to live. You know, we can't... I know that very often they do this, you know. They are the law, but the biggest lawbreakers of them all, the police. You know, I was filling up with diesel this morning, and just because they couldn't get out onto the A47, there were three of them parked up, and they wanted to get out, and they wanted to turn right at Guyon to go back to Wisbeach. And, you know, because they couldn't get out, and because the traffic was long, they just shoved their lights on, and three of them pulled out onto the road, and I couldn't see the lights on in the mirror, because I was leaving. I thought if they got out, when they stopped the traffic, I got out to head towards Peterborough. But just because they make the laws, it doesn't mean to say they can break the laws. You know, if they've got to live, or they're supposed to live according to the law. And just because we're Christians, just because we're saved, just because we've been made holy and righteous, doesn't mean to say we can be law breakers. We've got to make sure we're living the sort of lives that God wants us to live. "Be ye holy," God says, "for I am holy." You know, you've got to be holy. You've got to live holy. You've got to follow after holiness. And that's another scripture we find in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 12. Now, we spent a lot of time looking at Hebrews 12 a few months back, looking at the race of faith. But in Hebrews 12, verse 14, it tells us to pursue peace with all people and holiness. We've got to pursue holiness. We've got to follow after holiness. Because without it, it says, no one will see the Lord. You know, we've got to live the lives that God's looking for us to live. Yes, when we're saved, we should pursue peace and holiness. We should follow after holiness. We should pursue it. We should serve God in holiness. Now we're going to go back to Romans. Not Romans 6 straight away, but we're heading there next. We're going to go to Romans 12 first, and then to Romans 6. In Romans 12, beautiful words. And I've read these many times, preached on them a few times. Romans 12 verse 1 says this: "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Our reasonable service. Now, I've always read that, whether I'm right to read it like this, I don't know, but I've always read that as the very least you should do is to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's the basic requirement. You know, that's your reasonable service. You know, you can go beyond that. But the reasonable service, and as I've always looked at it, is sort of the basic or the very least that we should do, is to live like this. You know, living by the mercy of God, that giving our bodies, presenting our bodies, you know, going before God as a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable. Holiness to God. That's our acceptable service. That's our reasonable service. Living the way God wants us to live. We're presenting our bodies. Peter calls it like this, having our conversation in holiness. And we'll get onto that. Let's just read another. Let's go back to Romans 6. Now, we started off reading Romans 6, verse 22, which says about having your fruit to holiness. But earlier on in the chapter, you know, we've just read these words, that we present our bodies to God. That's reasonable service, presenting our bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 6:13 says this, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You know, there we're told to present our bodies, or present the members of our bodies, as instruments of righteousness or holiness. You know, you can substitute the word there. Instruments of righteousness to God. Then he goes on in verse 19. He says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading even to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. And so there, God wants us to present ourselves, to come before Him, to give ourselves to Him, that we live holy lives. And let's, just to wrap it up tonight, because time's gone on us again, let's just look at these. There's a couple of scriptures here in Peter, one we've been reading quite frequently. And we'll go to 2 Peter chapter 3 first. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 11. Well, let me read it from verse 10. Now this was sort of touched on Sunday. You know, we heard on Sunday about being ready. It's later than you think. You know, the time God's coming to the earth again is getting closer. You know, Jesus' return is getting closer. You know, it was said on Sunday that we were closer to the coming of the Lord than we'd ever been. Now today, we're 2 days on, and we're closer still to the coming of the Lord. And here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, he says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? You know, as we see the day approaching, as we see the end, the coming of the Lord getting nearer, you know, we need to make sure we're living holy lives, that we are holy in our conduct and in we're living godly lives, that we're living the way God wants us to live. You know, because the coming of the Lord is getting close. You know, you know, those that aren't living the sort of life that God wants them to live are almost classed as sleeping. You know, when Jesus comes, he says, I don't want to find you sleeping when I come. You know, we've got to be alert, we've got to be awake, we've got to be living, active, ready for God. You know, ready for His coming. You know, we may not have an opportunity. You know, when Jesus comes to say, well, Lord, I was going to repent of this and I was going to repent of that. And I was going to say sorry for living like this and doing that. No, let's make sure we're living holy lives now. If we sin, we ask forgiveness straight away. If we do wrong, we go to the Lord and get repent. You know, this, somebody once put it like this, we've got to keep short accounts with God. Make sure we've got a short account. We don't run up a big debt. You know we've done something wrong, let's put it right. Let's live godly and holy in all our conduct. You know, the scripture says this, and doesn't actually mention it so much in the words I wanted to use in the New King James. But in, there's a little book in the New Testament called Titus. Just a short book, it's only 3 chapters long. You can read through it in about 15 minutes. It doesn't take long to get through. And in Titus chapter 2, verse 3. In chapter 2, he's Paul's writing to this man. You know, this faithful man of God, Titus. He says, look, I want you to teach the older men that they live soberly, reverently, temperate, that they're sound in faith, in love, and in patience. And in the King James Bible, I think it says in verse 3, like, the older women, their behavior should be as becomes holiness. It says here that they should be reverent in their behavior. You know, we should all live like these aged women. You know, these older women. We should all live lives that, I think it's the King James says, becomes holiness. Or it's befitting holiness, is another word that you can use. Or it's an appropriate way of life. Or it suits us to live holy lives. You know, and that's what God is looking for in us. Then you can go on and read the rest of the chapter about what he encouraged Titus to, you know, teach his church members. You know that they're discreet and chaste. This is talking about the women. Or the young women. The older women should live lives of holiness. The young women, they're told to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, so that the word of God may not be blasphemed. He tells the young men to be sober-minded, and in all things to be a pattern of good works. So he's got a message for every person in the church, every age group. You know, part of that, and if you look into what he's telling, every single one of them really is told to live lives that are befitting God. Because we are the temple of God and God lives in us. And really just to finish tonight, we'll just read that one scripture. I've already quoted it. Found in Peter. It's really our key verse for the whole series of teaching I've been doing on the subject of holiness. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 1. And it's verse 15. And it's Peter here is quoting from the Old Testament. He's quoting from the book of Leviticus. And he says, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Be holy in all your conduct. In everything you do. Let's make sure we're living holy. Now in a few weeks' time, God willing, I'm going to take a break for a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. Let someone else do the speaking. We're going to pick up just got to wrap it up and finish it off, and we're going to see how some of the motives that we should have. And it's not about trying to have a badge and say that, yeah, we're holier than anybody else in the church, or we live in better lives. But there's certain motives the scripture outlines, and we're going to look at some of those and, you know, see what the result of our holiness is. So that will just finish off the series. But that'll be in a few weeks, Tom. Amen.